On the record, off the record, really is, it gives me a lot of nachas to be here. And as Tom and I also many years ago, when the yeshiva first started, about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, we're talking, saying there is a tremendous need for yeshiva, just like this. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi David, Rabbi Yoshin, you know, stepped into it, into the void, and filled the gap. And Baruch Hashem, I think we see the payros today, and it really gives me a lot of nachas too. Two son-in-laws. Oh, hell, that's right. Two son-in-laws are wrong. Okay, that's it. How many other daughters do you have? I mean, we had a thought. So Baruch Hashem, Yagdol Torah V'yadah. So I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts on a topic we shouldn't be talking about. Must be Lashon Hara. Okay, so a couple thoughts on Lashon Hara, and it's designed to be interactive, so feel free to ask any question that you want. Okay, so the Rambam, when he outlines the laws of Lashon Hara, which is found actually interesting enough in Hilchos Deos, which tells you something right over there. Why do you think it's in Hilchos Deos? What does Hilchos Deos connote or imply to you? And Rambam talked about various mitzvahs, and he categorized them in Hilchos Deos. What does Deos imply? How do you put in Hilchos Deos? Any thoughts on what Deos usually refers to? Okay, I mean, just even a simple translation. Deos means
knowledge.
Okay, good. So therefore, there's many mitzvahs that we feel we should do or we shouldn't do. And of course, it's things that hit us over here in the heart, but also most importantly, there's the thinking part of it as well, the rational part, the intellectual part. So the Rambam is telling us many of the things that he talks about, what we call normal emunah issues or midos issues. They're not just simply stated, but they're outlined in Hilchos Deos, which means to say it has to be a thought process involved. The thought process is involved, and that's why it's in the overall Sefer Hamada. And in terms of understanding, it's not just, you know, to do it. We certainly have to do it, but there's an understanding that goes along with it. So the goal today is to try to dig into a little deeper, you know, kind of what motivates us to talk Lashon Hara and what the nature of Lashon Hara is and why it's such a serious avera. And perhaps when we learn about it, we'll learn to, be more you know, careful in terms of our conduct on a day-to-day basis. So the Rambam, first of all, he talks about differences between mefilas and lashon hara and mosi shem. I'll summarize. Any quick thoughts? There's a rachil, a holeich rachil. There's a lashon hara, a baal lashon hara, and there's an individual that's involved in mosi shem. So he says as follows. I'll skip the halacha base. He says, "Zehu rachil, zeh shetoin gvarim v'holeich mizel ozeh, v'omer kach omer ploni, kach v'kach shamati al ploni, alfa pishu emes." I raise the machriv es ha'olam. Okay? So this is talking about a holech rachil. Holech rachil would be no different than a person, literally like a person who's a peddler, right? People go door to door selling wares. Today we have the internet to do it, right? But it used to be they knock on your door, you want to buy a toothbrush, you want to buy this. I have cosmetics to sell you, whatever it is, right? That's a holech rachil. So holech rachil is also not just somebody that sells you a product, but tells you something, right? What's he telling you? He's telling you something that's true. And he says, it's machriv es ha'olam. What's that all about? Can someone elaborate on why is it so bad? You're sharing information. It doesn't seem to be so bad, right? Why would you think it's a bad thing? Can you think of some examples? Rama makes reference to one in Tanakh. Perhaps you could think of one as well. Of why a holech rachel is a bad guy. Or what? Why is it machriv es ha'olam? Machriv es ha'olam is pretty serious stuff. Okay? All right, so it seems Rambam's talking about that simply sharing information, afal pishu emes, simply telling information. I'll share with you an interesting thought, and it was a kasha I never really understood until I actually heard it from my Rebbe years ago. The case by Moshe Rabbeinu that's with the Mitzri. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Mitzri, right, hitting a Jew, right? So what does he do? It says, Vayifen kovako, Vayarki einish, right? He looks around, there's no one there. Right, by Yachas a Mitzri, right? He hits the Mitzri by Meneu Bakal, and he buries him. All the evidence is gone. Right? Remember that? Shortly thereafter, he meets Dosan Vaviram, and what happens? He sees them again, right? And they're starting to fight. And what does one say to the other? What does one say to Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Halhargeni Hatover, you're going to kill me? Kasher Haraktes a Mitzri? Like you killed the Mitzri? Right? Seems strange. What's the kasha? Yeah, they're smiling. What's the kasha? What's the kasha, guys? Come on. Yes?
No one saw.
How did they know, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri? Correct? I was troubled by it. So my Rebbe, Rabbi Che, right, I once asked him, he said, very simple answer. Someone told. Who told? The guy that was saved. Had to be. No one else was around. So Moshe Rabbeinu, He's not going to go around to broadcast it. The mitzri's dead. No one else is around. There's one guy there, the guy that was saved. And he went around saying, hey, guess what happened to me yesterday? Moshe Rabbeinu saved my life. Right? Now, was he doing it with the best of intentions? What do you think? Could be. He certainly wasn't looking to get Moshe Rabbeinu in trouble, right? To rat him out to a Paro, that Paro should come after, right? But still in all, that idle talk, that sharing of information, which what I would suggest the Rambam call under Rechilos, Machrev is all. We almost lost Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I thought on the Vietnam, right? So that means to say that a lot of times, even simple information should not necessarily be shared because you don't know the implications of that information. You have to think, right? You have to think steps ahead to realize what is, if I tell someone this information, where may it end up? And if it ends up in the wrong place, we've got a real problem, okay? So that's the first thing of a Holei Bracha. So that's the first one. The next, he talks about a person that talks Lashon Hara. He says, Yesh avon gadol ma'od mizeh. There's even a greater sin than a person that's a holech rachil. V'hu b'chlal lav zeh. It's still included in the same lav. V'hu lashon hara. And that's considered lashon hara. V'hu ha'mesapir b'gnus chaveru afal pishuhu omer emes. Okay? So here the Rambam suggests something, a similarity it has with rachilos, and something dissimilar. What's similar to rachilos? What does it have in common with rachilos?
Emes.
That is emes. Both are MS. All true. Telling the truth. Can't catch me on a lie, right? Okay. What's dissimilar about it? Or what's unique about Lashon Hara, he says? The characteristic of Lashon Hara, Hamasaper be Gnus Chavero. Right? It's not just information, but it's Gnus Chavero. It's to the detriment of his friend, and it seems pretty clear to the motivation is to harm his friend's reputation. Right? In other words, the first information is neutral. We'll call it neutral information. Not positive, not negative. It's just, what do they call it today? TMI. Too much information. Right? Correct? Right? He's talking, he's gossiping, he's schmoozing, and he starts talking about information. He doesn't realize who's in the room, who picks it up, and before you know it, that person or greater individuals get harmed. Right? Okay, fine. The second case is a case where it's b'gnus chavero. The motivation is to hurt his friend. MS. All MS. Right? Now, what's fascinating here is the Rambam says, if you remember, how did he describe the Avera of Rechilos? He said, Harei ze machriv es ha'olam. Right? Pretty bad, right? Machriv es ha'olam. Can anything get worse than machriv es ha'olam? What would you think? I don't think so. But yet he says, Yesh avon gadol mizeh, ad ma'od. It's a greater sin than this, which is Lashon Hara. So why is Lashon Hara greater than Rechilos? If Rechilos is Machriv es ha'olam, right? So why does it say Lashon Hara is even worse than Rechilos? Question. Yeah.
Because it leaves a mark on the world once you're gone.
It leaves a mark on the world once you're gone. Okay. And Rechilos?
Rechilos is something that's not negative, necessarily.
Not negative. Okay.
Detrimental.
Okay, but I mean, also in theory, it could leave a mark. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say. I mean, it could leave a mark. It's a good question. I mean, it's hard to judge. Okay. So, any other suggestions? I mean, this is just theoretical. I can't prove it. It's just, right? Ram says we've got to try to figure out why he said what he said. Okay? It could be, hang on to that. Maybe we'll get to it later. Okay. Because it might tie into something else. Okay. Next, he talks about Motzi Shem Ra. So Motzi Shem Ra is an individual that says a lie about somebody else. Okay? And in fact, here he says, Ava Ha'omer Sheker, Motzi Shem Ra Al Chavero. All right? He says, the big Avera is Lashon Hara. And that's true. But if you tell a lie, that's Motzi Shem Ra. Implication is, from the Rambam, what would you say? It's as bad as Lashon Hara or not as bad as Lashon Hara? It's worse? He doesn't seem to say that. I mean, I would say, yeah, you're lying about the guy, right? But look at his lashon. He says, Yesh avon gadol mizeh, ad ma'od, worse than the first one, than Rechilos, which is lashon hara, right? He says, Hu ha'mesaper b'gnus chavero alfa bishor emes, aval ha'omer sheker, nikra mosi shemer al chavero. He should have said, mosi shemer is even worse than lashon hara. He doesn't seem to say that. I'm not sure. Well,
yeah. Assume that it's not as bad because Motzi Shemer, which isn't true, can be justified by a true statement.
Yes.
If it could be explained that, oh, it's just a misunderstanding.
Yes. Good.
As opposed to Lashon Hara, which true, you can't really get around it.
No, I'm sorry. Motzi Shemra is false.
It's a false one.
Right.
So it could be justified by maybe it was just a misunderstanding, the Motzi Shemra.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but where it's true?
It's true.
What are you saying is true?
You can't really get around it.
No, but what are you saying is true? I would, in other words, in the case of Lashon Hara, let's say a guy came to you. And he said, I heard you said something about me. And it's Lashon Hara. What would you tell the guy?
I can't say I didn't, because it's true.
Okay, but what would you tell him? The guy said, you cheated on a test. Right? You took my iPod. Right? You told someone, hey, you took your iPod. So the guy comes and he says, I got a tie it to you. Why'd you tell me you took my iPod? What would you tell the guy? If it's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means?
It's true.
In Motzi Shemra, he's caught you in a lie. You said he took the iPod, right? So I thought you were going to say the other. Meaning to say, it seems that where it's true, it's worse. What do you mean it's worse? MS is worse? No. It's worse because the guy feels he has got a better excuse to do it. He's got a justification. He's got an excuse. Don't attack me. I'm telling the truth. I'm not doing anything wrong. You follow? So it could be that's why the Rama says that Lashon Hara is worse than Motzi Shemra. You see? Because in Motzi Shemra, you know you're lying. So it's easier to do tshuva from that lie. You see? But where you're telling the truth, you see? So now, in your mind, I'm not doing anything bad. So I think this might open up to, we'll see one more question this might help us with. But this might open up also to the previous thing, which is sometimes an Avera is judged by the effect it has on others, machar v'salam, right, bad stuff. Sometimes the avera is judged by your ability, the severity of the avera is not so much the effect on others, but by your ability to do tshuva, by how bad it is for you. I'll give you an example. The famous halachas, lo tekal al hayesh, not like to curse a dead person. Right? Okay. So I'll ask you a question. Why is it bad to curse a fellow Jew, another person? Why? You make them feel bad. You embarrass them. Right? And you're playing basketball, he misses a shot. You idiot, you missed a shot, right? The guy feels like that big after the game, right? Baruch Hashem, I never played basketball, so I can't be accused of missing a bad shot. But what you see is like, it hurts a guy, right? It hurts a guy when he misses a shot. And if they didn't say it, he's afraid that they are going to say it. Okay. So that's one thing. But Losa Kalachayrish, the guy's deaf. So the guy's deaf, you're screaming at the guy, you're cursing at the guy. He doesn't know. You could be screaming with a smile on your face. Right, for all you know, you're the biggest idiot, right? So why is it bad? It's an iser, right? So the Rama says it shows that the Torah is not just makrib on the mikulal, the person who is cursed, but on the person who is cursing. Look how crazy the guy is. He's engaging in a totally irrational activity. He's throwing words at someone that can't even hear him. He can't control his anger. Right, he's totally a slave to his Yetzer Hara, right? Unless he's just acting foolishly, you see? So a lot of times an Avera is judged not so much by the effect on other people, but by the effect it has on the person himself, on the person doing the Avera, you see? So it could very well be that what the Rama is saying over here, that the reason Lashon Hara is worse, is because since it's MS and the guy could justify it, you see? So the guy feels he's not doing anything wrong. It's Gnus Chavera, yeah, but so what? There you got to get into his motivations to prove he had bad intentions. But on the surface, he's got every excuse in the world. His excuses, it's true. You follow? So I think the Rambam is opening that area up to us to let us know that when we do Averos, don't look for phony excuses, even though they're, quote, emes. You know what's going on in your heart, right? That's the Pasuk. Be'erasim l'kech ani Hashem. The Pasuk says that any Avera that's muscle, the lipo shel adam, any Avera that only the person himself knows, what they're thinking, no one else knows their motivation, realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. So a person has to be honest with themselves and realize that every Aver we do, even B'Seser, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. We're not fooling anyone, and we shouldn't fool ourselves. So that could be why he says Lashon Hara is even worse than the other Averes, because it's true, you see, and it's a question of what your motivation is. You could hide your motivation, so it's a worse Aver. It's a worse Aver because you have a bad motivation. Okay. Which might explain another interesting thing. Next halach he says, Amru Chachamim, Shalosh averos nifroim in adam olam azev ein lo chelik olam va. Okay, he says avodas kolchem gilim rashi bichas damim loshon hara yosmi kulam va adam ruchacham. Listen to this. Kolam misafir b'loshon hara kilo kafir beikar. Maybe we'll take that up in a second. The person that speaks loshon hara like they're a kafir beikar. They deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes the pasuk shnemar asher amalul shenu nonagvir svasenu itanu mi adon lanu. Our words are powerful. Who is going to be our master? Va'od amru chachamim shlosha lashon hara hareges. Lashon hara kills three people. Ready? Ha'omro, the guy that speaks it. Hamakablo, the guy that hears it. Right? Vizesh ha'omru alav. And those, the victim of the lashon hara. Right? Three people. Correct? Me, my friend over here, and the guy we're talking about. Who would you think is most damaged by lashon hara?
Of the three people.
The victim, right? Okay, how many guys say the victim? That's it? Okay. How many guys say the speaker? Okay. I want to give you a little chizuk. Okay, but, and how many guys say the guy that listens to it? The Rambam. He says, V'amakablo yosem min ha'omro. Right? Now the question is, why is the makablo worse than the guy speaking it? He didn't do anything. Right? Correct? So why is the Kabbalah worse? Yes?
He didn't do anything to prevent it.
Okay. But you know, the guy's the one that's actively speaking.
And now he has to walk away.
That's true. Right? So I call them equal. So I didn't stop him from doing the Aver, but still, that seems like that's worse. And I didn't stop him from killing someone. So I'm the bad guy. But he still killed the person. Right? So call them equal. He said it's worse. Yeah.
Because if you decide not to spread it and not to believe it, then you can completely end it right there. He has the power to end it right there.
Well, it doesn't say he's speaking it. It doesn't say he goes ahead and he speaks it. It doesn't say the Makablo speaks it. Yeah.
He has the best excuse.
Yes, what do you mean?
He didn't do anything. What did I do? I just
exactly.
I just heard it.
Exactly. Interesting. I specifically translated the word the listener, but it's really not the listener. Makablo. What's Makablo mean?
Accepted.
Right? It means the guy that's on the train and he's kind of like listening like that. Right? Now it's easy for him to say, what did I do? Exactly right. He's got the best excuse. You see? So again, in sync with this whole discussion, it seems to be that when we judge an Avera, right, we have to be very careful not to just judge it, what I'd say, superficially. You have to really look at, we have to be honest with ourselves. What is it that we are doing? And if we are a Makabel in the active sense, even though nobody knows what we're thinking, right? Correct? So the answer is that's worse, because it's very easy to fool yourself. So in terms of the ability to do tshuva, it's a harder thing to do, and that's why the rest of the Makabel is worse. Okay, good. Two other interesting things. He says as follows. And then he talks about things like avak lashon hara. Okay? He says like this. Yeshram shehem avak lashon hara, ketzad. Mi yomar, ketzad. Mi yomar leploni shiyeh kamo shehu ato. O sheyomar, shisku mi ploni, eni rosa lo dia, ma'ira lo. You've all seen this. I don't want to talk about it. That guy, I don't want to talk about it. Did you say anything wrong about the guy? No. Avak lashon hara. You didn't say the words, but what are you implying? Right? You're implying something bad. So, again, same thing. Right? It's avak lashon hara. It smells of lashon hara. It's the dust of lashon hara. Right? Yeah, you can't pin me on it. I didn't say anything bad about the guy. But the whole discussion, I'd rather not. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Also awesome. Okay? You have a question?
Yes. So you said that you can't say let's not talk about it.
Okay, good. So, good. Okay, so here's the trick. Good. A lot depends upon not what you say, but how you say it and what you mean. If you say, I don't want to talk about it like that, implying you guys know there's much more to talk about, and the guy's a bad guy, about lashon hara. Wait, if you say, stop, guys, this is wrong. You wouldn't want the guy to say it about you. It's usher. It's an issue deraisa. It's lashon hara. Let's not do that. That's right. You follow? So it depends how you say, I don't want to talk about it. Right? You understand? Everybody, you have to judge it's not the transcript of the words. It's the context and how it's said. And again, a lot depends upon what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what is it that you're intending, right? Absolutely, we all have the obligation when you hear something or see something wrong to try to stop him, try to prevent the guy from doing it in a very direct manner. You follow? But that's different than saying, let's not talk about it. Different story. Another fascinating halacha, which you may or may not know, just mentioned it anyway. He says, as follows as well. He says, "V'kol ha-mastaper b'tovas chavero b'fnei sonov hareza avak lashon hara." Ha-mastaper b'tovas chavero b'fnei sonov. That's avak lashon hara. Why? What's going to happen? I praise the guy. His enemies were in the room, right? And I praise the guy to the sky. What a fantastic guy. Asur. Why? Because what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. You talk about the guy in front of other people, right? And everyone has this experience. Someone walks out of the room sometimes and says, oh, he's a really nice guy. And that begins the whole discussion about the guy, right? In other words, by bringing up the name, now that becomes the new discussion, the new topic, right? So if you do anything like that, that you know, certainly if you do it consciously, or even if you didn't do it with that intention, but you know it's going to lead to that, that's also a violation of it. Because you have to be smart enough to know what the implication of your statement is. You follow? Question again.
But if you know it's not going to lead to that, then it's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. So again, I would say the same thing in regard to the other. If it's b'fnei sonov, if you're arguing with his enemies and say, guys, you know, I know you don't like Chaim Yankel, but he's really a good guy, and you're arguing with them to try to show them the merits of Chaim Yankel, mitzvah, because you're trying to set them straight. But if you say, Chaim Yankel is such a generous guy, they say, oh yeah, do you know he got his money? Blah, blah, blah. You follow? You understand? So you have to know what you're thinking. You have to know how it's going to be taken. So again, if it's litovaso, the MS, and you're really doing it, and you're, I would say, arguing with them or confronting them to set them straight, fine, mitzvah. But if it's just going to play into their hands and you know it, then you can't do it. You see? And you can't hide behind the fact that, again, when Chaim Yankel gets beaten up, you tell Chaim, I was defending you. No, you weren't defending him. You brought his name up in a context where you know they're going to further bash him. You see? And he closes with saying, interestingly enough, at the end, he says, what's Asr? He says, Echad ha-mesaper lashon hara b'fnei chavero o shelo b'fanav ha-mesaper dvarim shegoreim. Listen to this. Ha-mesaper dvarim shegoreim im nishmu ish mi pi ish lahazik chavero b'gufo b'mamono. You see? Afilu l'hafchido l'hotzer lo, to torture the guy, oppress the guy, ha-reiz lashon hara. So lashon hara means to say, even if you tell something to someone, and at the end, your intention may not have been that the guy should get beaten up. Literally beaten up, right? But the intention was, you know, just to spread bad stuff about this guy, right? So it's also, you're responsible for the net effects of the Lashon Hara. It's not just the guy you spoke to. He says, ish mi pi ish. If the one guy will tell another guy, will tell another guy, and the result of that will be bad stuff, you're accountable for that. It's an amazing thing. So that's how far Lashon Hara goes. So Lashon Hara is one of those averos which I think is very commonplace, and there's many motivations for it. You know, we've got to dive into it in a second, and we have to, you know, think about the various motivations we have. Sometimes it's to, you know, make ourselves superior to another guy. Sometimes it's to be, you want to get a guy back. You don't want to fight with the guy, so you get a guy back through words. You stick him in the back, so to say. Sometimes it's you want to be the latest one with the information, so you want to share information for whatever reason. A lot of different motivations in Lashon Hara, but it's an avera that's a very, very serious avera. You said it's makrivis olam. It's an avera that's a kasha lifrod bimenu, and it's something that we should really think about on a day-to-day basis in terms of improving ourselves by nodam lamakamim, by nodam lachaverim.